This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 174 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And this week, me and Alex, we're in our little canoe. We're coming to the end of the river. We right there, brother. We only got three more movies. And this week, we're going to be covering a little movie called Ready Player One from 2018. Alex, I know you have seen this. When did you see it? Was it at the theater or just after? Or when's the last time you watched this?
I did not see this in the theater run. But I did when it came out on, was it 4K when it came out? I think it did. 4K was
it, it was 4K was already around.
Yeah, I ran out and I picked it up. I was like, okay, let me get my hands on this. And that's the second time I saw it. And I believe I saw it last year for some reason, but I think I remember I did.
Yeah, I saw this at the theater twice. Then when it came out on 4K, we had actually just moved into my old apartment and we had just gotten a new 4K TV. So I watched it on there and then I watched it for this. So I haven't seen it in 4 years, but I have seen it. This is my fourth time watching it. Of course, directed by Steven Spielberg, my favorite director. No bias, though. Honestly, gonna score this thing perfectly clean. Looking forward to seeing what you think about this movie, because we've never talked about this film ever. No. Now, with that being said, let's give a little bit of scores from Rotten Tomatoes, critics and audience. Close. Again, the last movie we did, they were only 4% apart. This time, they're only 5% apart. Audience score is 72. I mean, critic score is 72%. Audience score is 77%. So it's liked, we'll say not loved, but liked by most people. And the reviews seem to reflect that.
You know, it's funny because I would have predicted this to be in the 80s, pretty much. Like 82, 80, you know, around there, 82 to 87. But I'm not surprised. 70 is still good. I mean, it's not like it's bad.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mention 80s because this movie is very, very 80s centric. In general. So I'm interested to hear your take, give my take. So we're going to kick it right off with the lead character, Wade Watts. Of course, Parzival is his name in the Oasis. Wade Watts is the character's name, played by Ty Sheridan. Alex, what did you think?
Oh, he was really good. See, again, a story is very well put together when the main character is established. And you got that from the beginning. He was poor. Everyone lives in the Oasis. So you got to see that. He narrates his own story like Peter Parker, right? And I thought it was good. I was like, you know what? This is really, 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 really good. His character is really good. Falls in love with a girl. You like that in these type of stories, right? And there was a goal, right? That I'm not going to talk about because that's storyline. But the storyline fit with this character and the world that Steven Spielberg was building. And I thought it worked very well. Was this an action-oriented character? Absolutely not. But when he's in the Oasis, he's very action-packed. And I think that's where this movie is. This movie is like a double identity, right? If you think about it. Because this movie takes place in the Oasis artificial intelligence world. And then you got yourself the real world happening at the same time. Personally, me, myself, I prefer the Oasis. I always thought the human side of this story was kind of like, I don't care for this because we're into that heavy dose of virtual reality. And I'm okay with it. Now rewatching it again, I thought it was a great idea to pull him out. Because honestly, if you do the whole movie in the artificial intelligence, I think people would not care for Wade's storyline more than the actual Parzival's storyline. People care more for Parzival, not more than for Wade. So I think with the double life switching back and forth, I think was very good. So honestly, I gave him a 5. He's emotional. He cries. He is really good. I mean, the main characters around him, Olivia Cookie, she is gorgeous. I always liked her. Yeah, she's great in Bates Motel. If you guys have not seen Bates Motel, check her out. She was in there. Awesome TV show. Yeah, so again, I gave it a 5. Yeah, it was good.
Look, Ty Sheridan's an actor who I really like. I like him. Good young actor. Really, in everything he's in, he's pretty solid. The first thing I remember seeing him in was this movie called Mud with Matthew McConaughey. And he was really good in that. And he played Cyclops in the newer, some of the newer X-Men movies. Yeah, he's good though. He has like that. He's like the young, he seems like a regular person. You know what I mean? Which is a good trait, especially for this role, because in this role, he is a regular person who essentially plays video games, right? He's like a gamer. We'll call this gamer. Now, everyone's a gamer in this future, United States. Yeah. He lives in Ohio, in the stacks, it's called. I like visual representation of the future in the real world. Spielberg, though, is as far as sci-fi and things, he's always been a kind of an ace at it. So that's not that surprising as far as like the production design and things like that. That being said, I agree with everything you said. I think he gives you enough backstory. You know, his parents are not around. He lives with his aunt. He doesn't like it there. This guy's a jerk, her boyfriend or whatever. He falls in love with a girl who can't relate. Who can't relate to being eight? He's 18 in the movie. Who can't relate to being 18 and falling in love with a girl? And it is relatable, and he's a relatable character. I don't see any particular flaws. I think he's a good hero, and I think he's a good regular person character. And I you can't ask for too much more. He's a great lead. I like Parzival. I like him in the, he's a little more confident, I guess, like in the Oasis world, you know what I mean? And in the regular world, I wouldn't say he's shy, but he's, not the same. So right. I gave him a 5 as well. I think he's really great. Honestly, I don't have any issues with him. All right. Main villain. Now, in this case, it's, of course, Sorrento. He's a IOI. He's like the CEO kind of character. So corporate overlord. What did you think?
I mean, he was really good. Again, he was great for this type of story, right? I mean, he worked with the guy who created the video game and, you know, told everyone that he was like the right foot or whatever he was to the guy. And really, he was just getting him coffee most of the time. But in terms of the storyline, he gave you what you needed for a villain for this type of story against kids. He was really menacing. When his avatar is in the Oasis, he's even worse because he has like all this free credits and all these, you know, he could get his hands on the guns and Millennium Falcons and Godzilla and, you know, their items in their inventory. His is like skyrocketing because he owns the CEO and he worked for the guy. So I bet he had like easy access to all this stuff. So I thought he was really good when he blew up the building because he thought he was there. I'll say, yo, this dude is really an asshole. Like he was just killing everyone right. So he could get this egg.
He killed his aunt.
Yeah. So I thought for me that warranted a 5 because honestly, this dude shut the entire game for this one kid not to get the stupid egg. Like I was like, who does that? I mean, I was like, that's crazy. So I give him a 5.
Yeah. Ben Mendelsohn is a great actor. I love him. Everything he's in, he's like one of the best parts of every single time. For this movie, I think I gave him a 4. I don't disagree with you. I think for the movie, he fits perfect. But he is, at the end of the day, he does blow up. He doesn't blow them up, right? He sends like drones to do it and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. Whatever. He does threaten to shoot children at the end of the movie, which is pretty bad. But at the end of the day, he's a corporate. I'm not crazy about like the corporate type villains. You know, he's a right off the bat, you get the backstory when he's in the flashback talking with Mark Rylance's character about like the whole thing. And he's like, right away, he's just thinking about money. We can make it in tiers and it could be the bronze tier. And and it's not much different than how these video game companies operate now. You know what I mean? With the microtransactions and it's very fitting. And so, you know, he's a greedy. His main thing is greed, which is not always my favorite driving force, but it is evil. You know, I give him a 4. I think he's great. Just under, but that's okay. Action scenes.
All right. So this movie is kind of weird because a lot of the action is in the virtual reality world. And in the real world, this car chase scene, the blow up scene. But that's pretty much it from what I get. I think those are the only scenes. And then, when they captured them towards the end, when they broke into her palace or whatever the hell it was. It was not much in the real world. But when it's in the actual Oasis, that's where you got the entire like world helping my man Parzival try to get the final key. And I gave it a 5. And the reason why I gave it a 5, I mean, I didn't want to because of the human side, but in reality, it is part of the movie. And I don't want to separate the two worlds. So since this is a one, film, I think the action sequences were phenomenal. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I was hooked when he's in the Oasis. I mean, we all grew up. We all want to drive the freaking DeLorean, and this kid could just drive it and it's cool, right? Like you can think about it. If this technology, which I think it could happen because we have the damn goggles already. The Facebook guy who have, what's it called? Oculus or whatever the hell it's called.
Oculus.
Yeah. So we're close to the Oasis really. And you mean to tell me that no one will race to like with their favorite cars, like me driving an Ecto-1, you driving whatever car you grew up, I mean the turtle van, like
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? Sick. Like, it's crazy. And I saw, like, almost all the cars that I grew up with in this damn movie. You saw the Batman 1966 Cadillac, right? You saw the DeLorean. You saw the Acura animated bicycle.
Oh, that motorcycle's so sick.
Yeah, it's so sick. You saw the Tron. I think there was a Tron bike somewhere around there, like an Easter egg. But, again, all these actions.
Bigfoot, the monster truck.
Yes, you saw the big, the big monster truck. Yeah, so you got to see a lot of cars that we grew up with in the film. And that scene alone was so great, that whole racing scene. But again, the fight scene, you saw every Easter egg. And that's the thing about this movie. This movie has so many, I don't know how many permission slips these guys had to ask from, like, companies like Warner Brothers and New Line Cinema and all this stuff, right? Because they had Chucky, Freddy Krueger, Friday the 13th, they had Batman. They had, I mean, you name it,
Alien,
Joker, Harley Quinn.
They had a chestburster. Yeah.
Yeah. The Turtles. They had all four Turtles when the kids were fighting.
Ninja Turtles, which is Paramount.
Yeah.
So this is Warner Brothers. So all of their properties, no problem. But Turtles are Paramount. Chucky is Universal. So they had to get, you had to get permission to use these guys.
I think it was a smart idea to do it that way. Because honestly, if you're going to be in a virtual reality, you want to have access to all these type of movie characters come to life. So anyway, imagine if he would have went foo, 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 and he knocked and it was like Ash's chainsaw in his hand and he just sliced dudes up.
There's a lot of horror references.
It was.
It wouldn't fit. Yeah, it would
have
fit.
I mean, you had the Gear of War gun that she had with the chainsaw and the thing.
Goro. Wasn't it? She was dressed as Goro at that one part for Mortal Kombat. Yeah,
and then she had the aliens thing because she played the puppet.
Mecha Godzilla. There was Gundams. There was the Iron Giant, awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, then they had the Zemeckis cube from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
When he threw it.
And the DeLorean, which is Universal. Yeah. The license. I'm guessing most of the budget was licensing. With the music and all the references, it was probably insane.
My thing is because I think
Spielberg has a lot of pull.
That's what I was going to say. Because he's a big time director and he worked on, he did Back to the Future. He was a producer. So they were like, you could use the car and whatever. In terms of the action scene, I gave it a 5. It was great.
Yeah, well said. I didn't separate them at all. I just said as a whole.
Yeah.
And just the race scene at the beginning, I would give a 5. I remember seeing this at the theater for the first time, and I was literally just like, this is my favorite thing. This is my favorite thing. It's got the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. It's got a Jack Slater thing, which is a Last Action Hero. That's Arnold Schwarzenegger's character. You got King Kong. You got all these cars from all these different movies. There's no music. Right. It's just like racing and explosions and stuff blowing up. And, I get it. OK, it's set in a virtual reality. That doesn't make it not look awesome, to be quite honest with you. And then the last fight in the snow with all the suits and the villains and the turtles pop up. And I was losing my mind. He does a Hadouken on him, when they're fighting. Right. He literally does it. Yeah. And then you got like video game, like Tracer was in this and Ryu was in this. And I mean, the references are insane, but I give the action a 5. I've always loved it. I think it is. Yeah, I remember when this came out, a lot of people were like, well, the action scenes are, it's all CGI and it looks like a video game. And I was like, but sir, he is in a video game. So it actually, that's how it's supposed, like, what is it supposed to look like? If you're playing a video, and first of all, don't even tell me about the effects, because if you were sitting at home playing a game that looked like this, you'd be like, this is the best looking video game I ever played in my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't have any issues with any of that stuff, like the character design they don't look that real. They're not supposed to. It's a video game. And it also is like one of the best looking video games if it really was. You know what I mean? So no issues for me there. I think the action scenes are well staged. Awesome. I love them. 5 out of 5. Okay. Storyline.
Storyline. Again, it was super strong. And, it's simple. It's a simple storyline. It's a video game. You got to find the 3 Easter eggs and you become rich. That's pretty much, you take over. It's like, it was Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory of video games, right? He put out 3 keys, and at the end, whoever gets the keys takes his entire, kingdom and all his money. So with that said, look, I gave it a 5. I thought it was really good storyline. Even the real world, even with the mixed with the Oasis, I thought everything was very well blended into this movie. I couldn't see no loophole. It was not boring at all. I was really stuck into it. Yeah, the whole scene with the Shining was even awesome, right? They recreated the Shining with virtual reality.
Don't get me started with that.
Yeah, that was so, to me, it worked very well. Genius move. Each board was really well done, put together. I mean, I wanted to go into the Oasis and get crazy. Like, I thought it was really good. But again, other than that, 5 out of 5.
Yeah, the Shining scene is literally my favorite scene of the whole movie. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, there's no way in this movie they're going to go into the Shining. And as soon as they go in the thing and the music starts playing, I'm like, stop. I went to see this with my cousin. Shout out Beckish Patreon. And I wanted to just punch her. I'm like, I'm going to punch you so hard. I'm too excited. This is awesome. You know what I mean? So I love that scene. And it's mixed, right? Because the twins are real. That scene's kind of mixed more than the other scenes. Like, it looks like real. Like, they're on the set. And then they're CGI characters. It's so freaking good. Beyond that, I agree. The story is straightforward and simple, but it is engaging. This is what you want. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get how everyone doesn't love this movie. And obviously, there's no movie that everyone on earth loves. But as a film, as a person who loves movies, I think if you love pop culture, if you love movies, if you love video games, if you love music, this is a movie you like probably will love. You know what I mean? It has awesome 80s soundtrack. You know, all the song choices are great. It has so many references. Even if you only get half of them, you'll have a great time like catching the references. You know what I mean? And it's pop culture and all that weighs so heavy. And I am such a fan of pop culture in general. Yeah. Like, we do a movie show, but I love music. I love sports. I love video games. I'm not a gamer anymore, but I love old school video games. And so like this for me, it's almost like this was made for me. And I feel like there's a lot of other people that apparently the book is better. I know the guy who wrote the book wrote the movie too. He did the screenplay, Ernest Cline. So, but whatever. I never read the book. And to me, I feel like this movie was made for me. The storyline's great. 5 out of 5. Okay. Overall.
You know, it's kind of funny. I don't understand why there's no sequel plotted. Like, I never understood there's no sequel. This movie, I mean, I bet it grossed the money back. It was highly entertaining. You had everything. You know, it's kind of funny watching it in 4K. I was sitting there and I was like, all right. Because I was so used to watching the Nolan movies because we did the whole director spotlight. Right. I was waiting for the IMAX scenes to show up. And then it switches to the non-IMAX. And I got jipped because there was no IMAX. I was like, crap. But
he didn't film with IMAX, I don't think.
No, he did it. But I was just like, all right, pretty cool. But anyway, overall, this movie, I'm not going to say it's a perfect movie. I'm not going to say it's a perfect, like, crazy 5 out of 5. But I will say it is a fantastic, great adventure movie. It's like Goonies with virtual realities, right? I think this is a really good movie. I haven't seen it in a while, but when I put it on, I was like, this is really freaking good. Like, the Oasis scenes alone are the best parts of the movie. I'm just going to be honest. I didn't care for the world parts. Like, if you give me a cut that is just Oasis, I would have been like, oh, this is such a great movie. But honestly, Steven Spielberg did a great job directing this movie. And I'm very shocked because, like, you could see his style in this movie. But it doesn't feel like a Steven Spielberg movie. You understand what I mean? Like,
It doesn't.
Not
his traditional ones.
No, it doesn't feel like his classic style. But I love that he went with modern stuff. Like, he's with the age. Like, okay, he could have did his old shit before, but no, he did try to do something new, and I thought it worked very well. I hope I'm saying it right, coming across right, but I loved it. I thought it was great. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, it's a 5 for me. Like I just said with the story, I genuinely feel like this was just a movie that was made for me. So every single thing I like about movies is in it. Every reference I loved. Every little moment of music when he gets the Zemeckis cube and the Back to the Future theme start, like, they don't play the whole thing, but it just plays like a little bit.
The piano.
Love that. Yeah, it just makes me feel nostalgic for things while also being entertaining on its own. You know what I mean? It didn't need the reference. They could have made up all characters, made up all things, you know, but the Holy Hand Grenade, like, there's so many references that it makes it cool. You know, there are movies that do references and they do them wrong. I think like Space Jam, A New Legacy, you know what I mean? Where they felt forced. It doesn't really feel forced here because of the way they explain why that is, that, you know, the way it is. Like, the creator of this world is someone who is obsessed with pop culture, especially 80s pop culture. And so he's going to include things he loves in this world that he created. And so it makes perfect sense. You know what I mean? Like, it fits. I didn't feel annoyed by it ever. To me, I remember when I came out in 2018, it was my number one movie that year. I gave it a 10 out of 10. I haven't rewatched it since 2018, and it's still a 10 out of 10 for me. I just have a smile on my face the whole time I watch this. I just think it's great. I could totally see your four. And honestly, I mean, you know, I made the comment of like, I don't know how everyone doesn't love it. I could see why people wouldn't love it. But anyone similar to me, I don't see how they wouldn't love it. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think it's fantastic. Five. So I think we have the same overall. I think both 24. Right.
Yeah. I have a 24. I mean, you're right. And one thing I was going to say, I'm sorry, was the pop culture reference, Star Trek. Remember, his casket was the Star Trek missile that they shoot out. Was it torpedo? I think it's a torpedo, or I forgot what the name of it is, but his coffin is the actual Star Trek torpedo that they shoot out in like a coffin when someone dies.
I'm thinking Spielberg called in a bunch of favors. Like, because it says the budget was 175 million, between 155 and 175, and it grossed almost 584. Okay. So, you know, it made money. It wasn't like the biggest hit, but it made money. But with that budget, he must have called in some favor. He was like, hey, listen, well, Warner Brothers can use their own stuff. You don't got to pay for that. But like, he produced Back to the Future. He's like, hey, look, we're going to get this, you know. And I think, didn't Alan Silvestri do the score for this too? I believe he did. The music is great. Like, the original score for Ready Player One is awesome too.
Alan Silvestri, he's the one that did Back to the Future.
Exactly. So he could use his theme anyway.
Yeah, it's his music. Yeah, pretty much. I thought it was cool.
So we both give it a 24 out of 25. Yep. Your four is on the overall, my four on the villain, but otherwise pretty much fives across the board. All right. So moving through the river of time now, Alex, I think you're gonna get pretty excited when I tell you what we got coming up next week.
What we got?
So first, we're wrapping up. I'm pretty excited for this. We're wrapping up Bond, Roger Moore, of View to a Kill. Okay? I'm ready to be done with it. I'm ready to not... The 7 weeks of Bond films. But, finally, this is a movie I have not seen since the theater, okay? But I loved it, and I'm very excited to watch it again. It's a little movie with your boy, Carl Urban. It's called Dread.
Oh, baby.
We're going to be doing a little bit of Dread. I remember thinking this movie was really badass when I saw it at the theater, but I just, you know, I never, you know me, I don't rewatch movies that frequently anyway. I wait 7 to 10 years. So I haven't seen it in a while. Very excited. So we got Dread coming up next week as our second movie through the decades.
Let me just tell you, I love Dread. I think I own I have two versions. And four, I got the regular copy, the Steelbook. Then I have the 3D version. Remember when it came out, the 3D version?
The 3D Blu-ray?
Yeah, I have that version, which I thought it was awesome when you see it. But you know what's cool about this in terms of Dread? I finally get to, because my wife just got me a Sonos soundbar. We upgraded, right? Okay. I already had the Sony Atmos, but I wanted a new one. So she surprised me. And I got oh my God. Can't wait to hear what Dread will sound like through that pub.
You know, it's funny. I can't even hook up my soundbar and subwoofer here because we're on the second floor and the downstairs neighbors will get mad. So I'm running off TV speakers these days, which is very annoying. At least the picture quality is good.
Well, I'll tell you this. I can't wait for you guys to come here to feel what I feel.
You better blow whatever little bit of hair I have left off my head.
You will. Oh, you will.
Blown away.
The highest coding that I could do now is DTS, bro. DTS IMAX. I was like, what is this?
DTSX?
Yeah.
Oof, that's the best.
I was watching Dunkirk and it was like DTS around 5.1. I went, what is this? In the Batman. I was like, this is amazing. Anyway, but
what is this?
Turned into Voldemort. Yeah. But I thought this was great. Anyway, but I just can't wait because Dread is one of my movies. I can't wait to go back and watch it. I wanted a sequel so bad and I still do.
I hope I don't hate it.
You never know. You might.
I hope I don't hate it. But I never know it.
All I remember is that one scene when he goes, Mama, I'm coming for you.
That's all you need to remember.
Yeah, that's all I remember. He was like, you are the law. No, I'm the law. Anyway, with that said, you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/GeeksandFlix for the video version of the podcast, or just head over to our official website at www.geeksandflix.com for anything and all podcast related videos and audios. And then of course we have our merch store where you guys can purchase Geeks and Flicks merchandise and Action Movie Guys merchandise. I'm gonna add some new stuff also. I'm gonna start working on some stuff. And then of course if you guys want to join the Patreon and watch us behind the scenes, hang out with us, talk to us while we're actually doing the podcast, you're more than welcome to. All you gotta do is go to www.geeksandflicks.com. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nate Flicks Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.